You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And we know how to do that. Let me tell you, if you've got a problem with that, we can solve that tonight. Now, you may have some financial problems that we can't solve. But spiritual problems, we know who solves those. We can direct you to the person called Jesus Christ. And so our second goal is to help you stay out of white, stay out of trouble. Or if you're out here at Ector County, you got different colors you can pick and choose from. We got a blue, we got a green and white, we've got a tan, and we've got an orange in Ector County. So we look like a rainbow out there. Anyway, thank you so much for being here. Use our butt cans that we have out and put trash in the trash cans and butts in the butt cans and pour liquid on the ground or the sink. And we want you to enjoy the rec room. And you're our guest, and then we want you to just be part of us. Brother Charles is going to sing one of my favorite songs tonight. I guess that's still on. Yes, okay, sir. All right. Let him do it.
Leland told me about this song sometime last year, and one of our great singers, Miss Dolores Andrews, happened to have had a CD for it, so she gave it to me, and I'm very grateful because I really love doing this song, and it's one reason is because it is so true. It's the testimony probably of most of us that are here tonight, because we really can't get by without him holding our hand. Let it go, Brother Rick. I wish I could play like this guy. I can almost get it. Well, I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be whatever I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Well, I thought I had done a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all on my own. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Now I'm gonna make the Lord Jesus number one. And when trouble comes, on him I can call. I don't trust him, I'd be less than a man, 'cause I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain, it's too high, and the valley's too grand.
All I've learned is I can't even walk without holding my hand. I'm turning your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to talk about a prophet in the Bible that everybody heard about, everybody knows a little something about. He's called the most feared prophet in the Bible. His name is Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 18, and if you don't have a Bible and would like to turn with us, if you lift your hand, we'll get you one. We've got some guys coming with them. We'll give you a minute to find it. 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to stay pretty much right in that area. I want to talk to you tonight about the good, the bad, and the do-nothings. Some of you seen the movie The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. This is just the good, the bad, and the do-nothings. We got a good guy, we got a bad guy, and we got the don't-want-to-get-involved guys. That's where most of everybody falls in that area. 1 Kings chapter 18. Let's just start verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. That's the second guy. There's the ugly, the bad here. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of the house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, and that's about all he's going to say for him. That's the do nothing. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land and all the fountains of water and all the brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and the mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. For 3.5 years it didn't rain. Elijah said, It's not going to rain, not going to rain till I say so. And so it is really taking effect on Israel. No water. We're familiar with what no water does. We got 20 inches last year, and it was like we had a Noah's flood. Somebody said one time, I heard a guy say one time, back in Noah's day, that the wink got 6 inches. But no water. And so Ahab had sent Obadiah, the prophet, out to try to find some grass, some water. So they divided the land between them in verse 6 to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him and fell on his face, and he said, "Art thou my Lord, Elijah?" And I'm going to just stop for a moment. We're going to pick it up again in a minute. But like I said, Elijah was the most feared prophet in the Old Testament. Back in chapter 17, verse 1, we're introduced to Elijah for the first time. It said, "Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word.'" Now Ahab was the king of Israel. He was the worst king Israel ever had. Looking back chapter 16 and verse 30, it said, "And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him." Nobody had been worse in the world till Ahab come along. He was the worst. He was the bad guy. And he's the one that's going to blame Elijah for all of the problems that Israel's got. We've got a whole world full of them today. It's always somebody else's fault. He hated God. Now, this Ahab may be a little new to some of you, but everybody has heard of his wife. Her name was Jezebel. I was married to her. I told some people one night, I said, "My second wife sold real estate during the day and moonlighted as Antichrist." Now, here along comes Obadiah. This guy, I asked some questions about Obadiah because he's kind of interesting to me. Here's a guy that's straddling the fence. Why would you hide prophet? The Bible tells us he hid the prophet. In the first place, prophet's not to be hid. He's to be out there preaching. He's to be out there telling what God has said. That's what a prophet does. He's a preacher. So why are you hiding? And they didn't. One, I guess they didn't want to be associated with Elijah. And so we're not going to get involved with him. And so he's hiding the prophets. Why would you hide and look like you'd want to get out there with them? Why would he want to hide? And then all Obadiah's doing is just giving them bread and water. Just give us enough to get by. It's amazing if something, Jesus told them one day, "So the only reason you're following me because I'm feeding you. That's all you care about. You don't care anything about me. You don't care anything about my word. Just because I've multiplied the loaves and the fishes, you're hanging around." And it's amazing. If God quits helping us do something, we get madder than a jail. And I did this for God, and he didn't do such and such. It's almost like we're on a 50-50 basis with God, and that's not the way it is. Obadiah, on one end, served Ahab. He works for Ahab. He's employed by Ahab. He gets his living by Ahab. On the other side, he's a friend. He's befriended Elijah, and he's talking to Elijah. He wants to be here and he wants to be there, and that's the way most of us are. We don't want to get to be too spiritual because some of our friends won't like us, and we don't want to get too worldly because God may get upset with us. So we try to just walk in between. Let me tell you something. You're going to find this is why you and I in this entire world is miserable most of the time. There's not much happiness. If there was joy and peace in this world, then nobody could sell pot. Think about that. If there were joy and peace, and if you had it, then nobody could sell you Budweiser or Cutty Sark. Because those are mind-changing drugs. We take them because we're miserable. Now, we won't tell anybody that, but we're going to live it up. We're having a good time. When I first started drinking at about the age of 14, I drank my first beer to learn to dance. It did not teach me to dance. It's just that I didn't care that I looked stupid. Yeah, that'll do that for you. You always look stupid. You just don't care anymore. You know, you think you look good. Boy, I'm really looking good here. Let me tell you, when I moved into this town to drink, I wasn't drinking for that reason anymore. I was drinking to get through the day and to quit hurting. I was drinking to forget that the loser that I was. I was a loser as a man. I was a loser as a daddy. I was a loser as a son. I was a loser as an employer. I was a loser as an employee. I was a loser as a friend. I was a loser as a husband. I was a loser. And I didn't want to have to face that. So every day a little earlier, I find that I can take and start feeling good about myself. But it had to come from the outside. There wasn't anything on the inside of me to feel good about. I'm a loser. And we hate it when we're losers. And we know it, and we're not going to admit it. And we keep looking for something else and telling people how great things are. How you doing? Fantastic. Y'all right. That's the way Obadiah was. Nothing there, just straddling the fence. Didn't want to get too far on either side. Now, three things about this whole situation. Elijah's walked in, get the picture. He says, it's not going to rain till I say it's going to rain. And when the rain stops, the crops stop growing. The cattle are going to start dying. We've got problems here. And the Bible tells us for 3.5 years it didn't rain a drop. Ahab, the king of Israel, said, you can't do that. I'm the king. I run things around here. And he is irate at Elijah. And he's going to come down on him as hard as he can, if you will. And then here's Obadiah sitting out here. Now, three things are going to happen. Number one, the conflict has got to start. There's going to be a warfare. Let me tell you, in your life, in my life, you're going to have problems. You're having them. You've already had them, and you're going to continue to have them, and I'm going to continue to have them, and they're going to be there. There's always a conflict. Every now and then, you have a day that was just fantastic. But it ain't often, is it? No, it's this, it's that. You got to come up with this. You got to come up with that. You got this problem. You got that problem. We know that's out there. The conflict has got to start. You can't serve God and Satan. And when you go through this life, you've got to take a side. You can't sit over here and say, I'm neutral. Because Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. Can't be neutral. No fence to sit on. That's why the Christian life, living for Christ, is considered a warfare. Some of you thought it was a parade. I can remember when I was playing ball, every now and then some old boy, you'd see him out there running down the field watching his shadow. He's going to find out in a minute. He didn't put them pads on to parade with. Somebody's going to attack him. In fact, my line coach ended up being the athletic director in Odessa. It's one of the reasons I moved out here. Right after I got out of college and went into business, I was visiting with him. He said, Leland, what's the difference? What do you find different in the overall just behavior of people in playing ball and business world? I said, the business world is a lot tougher, Coach. And he said, why do you say that? I said, because when I played ball, the opponent wore a different color uniform. Now they all wear business suits. They're still opponents. Can't tell them. Can't see them. But they're out there. It's a warfare. The conflict, you're going to have it. And I don't care how much we would like to stay out of it, conflict in mine and your life is coming. And number two, that conflict won't resolve itself. It's not going to go away, people. Talking to a guy sitting out to jail. I said, what are you doing back in here? And he said, Leland didn't do anything new. He said, this just, he said, I had an old warrant out. And they picked me up. And I said, why didn't you get that taken care of? You know better than that. And here's what he said. These are his exact words. Leland, I thought it might go away. Sure enough. Let me tell you, chicken's going to come home to roost. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Crop's going to come up. Some things come up in the next 60 days. Other things come up in the next 6 months. But there's some things, like the palm tree, it's going to take it 23 years to get ripe. We never know, but it's going to come. The conflict won't resolve itself. See, the prophets sitting out there, they ended up being nothing. We never hear from him again. We don't hear from Obadiah again. There's a book in the Bible called Obadiah. It's not the same guy. They lived two different, totally different times. But they run nothing. But there's going to be the conflict. And the conflict will end as it will. God guarantee you it will start, it will also end. I want you to look at verse back over here in chapter 18 now. And in verse 19. Elijah has met Ahab. And he said, let's get it on. Verse 19, he said, now therefore sin. And gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. That's 850 false prophets. You talk about religious. We live in a religious time. It's just really non-Christian. We got all kind of religions. Everybody's got one. Verse 20, so Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together in the Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. And if Baal, then follow him. But let's get off the fence. If God's God following, let's see who God is. Let's put him to a challenge. Let's put Baal to a challenge. Let's see where we are. And all the 850 prophets come in. And here's what Elijah said. He said, the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. They said, that's a good deal. We can do that. And he said, y'all can go first. And all day long, they prayed and praised and did all of that stuff, but no fire fell. Nothing happened, which is the story of most of our churches. Now, in America, nothing's happening much. Christian life, you can be a Christian or not a Christian, things won't change. If God left, most people wouldn't know it. What's going to change? We're just going along our merry way. Elijah's going to stop that. We're not doing that anymore, he said. If God be God, let's serve him. If it's not, let's don't serve him. Let's get off of the fence. And verse 24, he said, call ye on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And all day long, 850 prophets sacrificed and nothing happened. Elijah said, okay, let me show you how it's done. And not only did he put the bullock out there, the sacrifice, but he said, go get me 4 barrels of water. And it must have been kind of scarce, because remember, hadn't had any rain 3.5 years. And I'm sure they questioned that a little bit. What are you going to do with the water, right? He said, pour it on the sacrifice. Now remember, God's going to answer by fire. And Elijah's trying to put it out before it starts. And they poured it on there. And he said, oh, wait a minute. Go get me 4 more barrels. And they got 4 more. We got the wood, we got the sacrifice, and now it's soaking. What's wrong with you? He said, oh, by the way, get me 4 more barrels. 12 barrels of water. Somebody said we ought to call this how to get on fire when your wood's wet. But God answered by fire. Notice what he does here. Verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the tree. The fire even licks up the water. Normally water puts fire out. Here, the fire put the water out. Yeah. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Now listen to the end. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. In this warfare with God, you don't want to be on the losing side. He slew them there. Elijah, back in verse 21, prayed a 63-word prayer. I sat down and counted them. 2 verses, 63 words. That's all he prayed, for the fire of God to fall from heaven. And then he took no prisoners. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Many of you have this conflict day in and day out. Many of you know what you ought to be doing. Many of you know in your heart of hearts that if God be God, serve him, and if not, not. I'm going to ask you tonight, if Jesus came, or if he called you home, are you ready to meet him? And you'd say, Leland, I'm not ready to meet Jesus tonight. If that's your position, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, would you just slip up your hand and say, I'm not ready to meet him tonight? Be honest with him. Are you here tonight without Christ? Yes, I see you. Yeah. Anyone else, real quickly? You're here tonight? Yes, sir, I see your hand. Anyone? Before we pray, we're getting ready to pray. Here's what I want you to pray as I pray. Lord Jesus, I trust you tonight as my Savior. I turn everything over to you as best I know how. I believe you died for my sins on the cross. and rose again the third day in order that I might go to heaven. Lord, as best I know how, I'm trusting you as my Savior. Would you do that while I pray? Our Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of the men and the women here. Our Father, we have no magic words. All we know is that you said that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that you'd raised him from the dead, we would be saved. That's what we're counting on. We trust you. I want you to stand your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed, nobody looking around. And on the very first verse, I want you to come and say, I trust Christ as my Savior. I want to get on his side. I'm tired of being in the middle. Come on.
Just as I am.
Come right on. We won't be long, but you come now and say, I want to trust Christ as my Savior.
But that your blood was shed for me.
Yeah, come on.
And that you bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Come on. Come right on. Be God. Will you step out far?
And waiting on to rid my soul of one of blood to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God. I come. In a moment
we're going to sing one more verse, and one more verse only. Are you doing what God wants you to do? How long will you stand between two opinions? How long will you stand between two sides? Are you willing to step out for Jesus Christ? That's all we're asking you to do. It's not easy, but it's real. Will you do that? This one verse, and we'll be through. Are you doing what God wants you to do? One more verse, Brother Charles.
Just as I am, you will receive, will welcome pardon, cleanse, relief, because your promise I believe.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that have come. Father, we pray for those that should have and didn't, that you'd give them one more chance. Father, help us to realize the reality of what we're doing, the importance of what we're doing, the destiny of heaven or hell is held in the balance. Father, help us to get it right. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you for being here. We've still got some at the front playing. The refreshment bar's open.
His name is wonderful, Jesus.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.